I've been preaching on this a lot here for the past month, as you all know. I've been preaching on addiction and how we can overcome this. And by the way, I just want to say this before we get into the heart of this, and I won't take up a lot of time today. Just want to be led by the Lord. Is that if anyone here may be if you may be hooked on something or addicted to something, I want to tell you right now, there's no condemnation for you. Okay, we're not here to condemn people. We're not here to say, you need to stop this. You need to stop. Well, we're not here. Listen, I'm a beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. And everyone here has struggled with something. Everyone here has a family member that has struggled with some kind of an addiction. Now, I'm here to say that there are some people, you know, they're addicted. Some people are addicted to prescription pain pills. Some people are addicted to different harder drugs. But you know, there's some people that are addicted to food. There's some people that are addicted to alcohol. There's addictions that we all deal with and that we have to face them and talk about it. And the only way that we can defeat this monster is to actually talk about it in our churches, right? We have to talk about it and just address it and just bring it out into the open and bring it out into the light and say, hey, we're not here to condemn people. We're here to give you hope. We're here to let you know, hey, there's a chance for you. There's hope for you. Amen? So we want you to know there's hope for you and your family. And guys, we want you to bring those people that you know that's addicted, bring them on in. If they say, oh, they may not accept me, listen, we'll accept them as they are. Because we believe that accepting people precedes the change. People are changed when you accept them. Bring them on in. But today, guys, I declare war on addiction. Because addiction has declared war on us. In our community and on us. I declare war on it. I will not sit by and be hampered by it anymore. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to stand against it. I'm going to pray against it. And I hope you will too. We're going to step up and call it out for what it is. It's destructive. And it's from the devil himself. It is. It's destructive. So guys, we're going to declare war on it. We're going to take back our family. We're going to take back our friends. And we're going to cut off the head of this monster and say, you are not going to rule our family and our lives anymore. We're going to talk about it. We're going to bring it out into the open. And how many knows that when you bring something out into the open, that's when victory begins to happen? When you can begin to bring it out and say, I can begin to talk about this and confess it and get victory over it and not feel like I'm going to be judged or condemned by it. Amen, church. Amen. So we have to talk about it. Bring it out into the open. So today we want to focus on how we can prevent it from happening and how we can help someone who may be addicted. So last week, ATS The Bridge, back there in the lobby, there's signs and symptoms of drug abuse in adolescence. And here's the signs. And you can get it in the lobby and it shows you how to prevent some of these things from happening. And guys, I want you to read the paper. I want you to grab a copy. They were here last week. How many was here last week when they were here? Okay, I didn't get to make it here that day, but I encourage you, if you love your children, you know, care for your family, read this, get educated about it, learn more about it. When they were here last week, they also had the parent toolkit. How many seen that? If you didn't see it, and if you wasn't here last week, as you leave today, when you go through the lobby, get this parent toolkit. It'll help equip you on how to look for those signs and what you can do to talk to them now. Talk to them now while they're young, so that way they can say no when they get a little bit older. Can I get an amen? We want to do everything we can to prevent that from happening. So guys, we need to take this seriously. You know, there's things you can do to teach your child to say no. And how many knows it's good to teach them to say no? Say no. You know, it never gets old. There's power in your no. Say no. And so, guys, page 7 in this parent toolkit, it talks about refusal skills, how to say no in different ways. Page 8 says, teens who are supervised by their parents and have strong bonds with their parents are less likely to misuse or abuse drugs. So, guys, so parents, let me tell you something. Your kids are your first ministry. They're your first ministry. They come before your wife, your wife, your spouse, your husband, your kids. They come before anything else, all right? Y'all with me? I mean, you invest in them. You tell them. Have a close bond with them. And guys, listen, and the leaders here at this church and me as a pastor, we'll do everything we can to help, but they're at home more than they are here. They're only here maybe an hour or two a week. So they're with you most of the time. So dad, mom, you're the spiritual leader of your family. You're the minister leader of your family. You're called to disciple them. Can I get an amen? And so they're at school more than they are at church. And so you've got to learn how to be able to disciple them and cultivate an atmosphere, cultivate the presence of God in your living room, in your kitchen, in your house. Make it a place where God dwells and where God makes a habitation. Amen? So you are the discipler. That's the reason why we have dads. That's the reason why we have them to baptize their own sons and daughters. I don't do it. Whenever a child or a teenager wants to be baptized, I have the parents do it to let them know, hey, you're the disciple. You're the one that's supposed to lead them in the way. Amen? So, guys, this toolkit that I've got in my hand, there's more back there in the lobby. And if there's no more, we'll get you another copy. We'll get you more. And, guys, never say this, okay? Never say this. Don't say, well, my child won't never do that. I don't know about your child's doing it, but my child won't never do it. Listen, don't get there on the, I know you want to believe the best, and we should, that's what love is. But guys, always take safeguards and always take those preventative measures and never say that, my child would never do that. My child would never do that. So don't get prideful, be humble and and pray for them and disciple them, because every one of us in here today, we are not exempt from that stuff. Y'all with me? We're not exempt from that. It's everywhere. It's all around us. It's in our schools. It's in our workplaces. It's all around us. And so, guys, your child, your family is your first ministry. Now, on 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we have our Overcomers Outreach. How many knows about the Overcomers Outreach? The Overcomers Outreach, it's for people who struggle with life's hang-ups. Maybe you got some bad habits or maybe even with drugs. But guys, it's for everybody. We don't want just people thinking it's only for people who are hooked. No, it's for everyone. Everyone who struggles with hang-ups, and it's more of a one-on-one conversation, that Overcomers Outreach that we have here at 10 o'clock on Sundays. And Johnny, here, raise your hand, Johnny, and Brenda, his wife there. There's those two and more people here. They will counsel you. Like if anybody, we're here for you. If you're struggling with something, I never want people here at the church to say, well, I can't open up about that. I can't talk about that because they're going to think bad of me. I never want you to say that. I never want you to think that. I never want you to think that about this church, that you can't open up about some of your struggles. I want you to be able to open up about some of your struggles, some of your issues, and not be afraid. But you can confess and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. And so, guys, Johnny, you ought to hear his testimony. God delivered him. Nick Karen over here, God delivered them from a lifestyle of drugs, from a lifestyle of just living life, just living. And their testimonies is incredible. Nick Karen shared his testimony on Facebook, and I may get him to just post it again so everybody can hear it. I believe everybody's heard it before. But guys, I'm here to tell you, there is no addiction that is stronger than the power of the Holy Spirit, than the power of God. It can set you free and deliver you, no matter how long you've been on alcohol, no matter how long you've been on drugs. The power of God can set you free and won't condemn you. So we're here for you today. And even after service today, we're going to have an altar call. We're going to have you to come up and pray. But even if you don't, even if you just want to talk to somebody, Johnny will be here after service. I'm sure he'll stay for a little bit. Just wait. He's back there. Even Nick, raise your hand. We're here to counsel you and to help you. We want to guide you through this. We don't want to just say, you need to change, and not even be here for you. We want to be here to guide you and help you and help guide you through this and lead you through this. We're here for you. We want to help you. We just want to let you know that. But guys, as we begin in the scriptures today, in Proverbs 19:19, guys, how to help someone, how do you help someone with addiction? Number one, this is a hard one, okay? This is a hard one. Don't enable them. Don't enable them. That is a tough one. And as you're turning there, and I've got to turn there in my Bible here, just know that this can be hard. And thank you for posting the verse on the screen. Good job. This is a hard, difficult thing to do because you love people. You love your family. You love them, and you want to keep them going. But let's read this verse here. It says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, but if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Yeah, do y'all see that? You can love and support someone without taking responsibility for them. You are responsible to them, but not for them. Now, what is he talking about here in this verse? He's saying if you rescue someone from the consequences of their choices over and over again, you may have to keep doing it over and over again. We are called to rescue people, but not stand in the way of that consequence. And it's hard for us to do that. It is. But guys, it's dangerous for people who always want to avoid that consequence and responsibility, but they keep doing the things that may be self-destructive to them. And the one you love the most can be the one you hurt the most. The one you love the most can be the one you hurt the most with the enabling. And so it's painful to do. But guys, we can't keep feeding what's destroying them. Y'all with me? We can't keep feeding people what may be destroying them. And there's a line that you have to draw. So guys, if we're enabling someone, we can be codependent. And we start gaining a sense of importance by helping other people in their needs. And in doing so, we avoid our own needs. Now, when you draw the boundary there, will they get angry? They probably will. They'll probably get angry. But that's how they control you. Are y'all with me this morning? And I know, listen, and I'm preaching this with compassion, okay? I'm just preaching the truth this morning. I'm preaching with love. I'm preaching with compassion. But a lot of times people, they can control you with their anger. And if they can get you to react, then they can get what they want. And so if you react, and then they control you, they get what they want every time. But guys, if you don't react to their anger, they have to learn self-control instead of other control. Y'all with me? They start having to learn self-control because with their anger, they can learn how to manipulate you and control you and just get what they want there. And so consequences give us the pain that motivate us to change. And sometimes, according to that verse, we have to let people suffer some of those consequences. Yes, guys, we don't give up. And I just want to say this after I said that. I just want to say this morning. Don't give up on people, okay? Don't give up on your son. Don't give up on your daughter. Don't give up on your mom. Don't give up on your dad. You keep pursuing them, okay? But guys, and this may be hard for us to take this morning, but guys, if they just keep asking you for money over and over again, you can't do that. You can't keep feeding that addiction. Because if you keep giving them that money, they're just going to keep doing it. And guys, let me tell you something. People who are addicted, they will lie to you. They'll do anything. They'll tell you they need to pay their light bill, tell you they need to do this. And guys, you have to be careful, okay? Y'all still with me this morning? So I believe what I'm preaching this morning, I think you already know about this. But sometimes I just felt like I needed to bring it out. You can't enable them. You really don't give up on them. Everybody say, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them, but don't be enabling some of those behaviors there. And it hurts. How many knows it hurts? When you see that, when you say it hurts deep, it hurts your heart, hurts deep down. And so, guys, instead of enabling, let's empower them. Let's empower them. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Guys, only through the power of the Holy Spirit can addiction be defeated. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to pray that prayer over people, Lord, you said, the Holy Spirit, when we receive power, we will receive power. Power to do what? To be witnesses, right? And he'll give you a power to be a witness and a representative, to represent the Lord. See, empowerment is when you allow another person, right, to be responsible for their actions. Here's some things you can do to empower people. Y'all ready? Y'all with me? Number one, pray. That's how you empower them. You pray over them. You intervene. You provide resources for them for help. We've got papers right here. We've got places where people can go to rehab. All kinds of places here. We got copies here. We'll send you. We'll do everything we can to help you. do everything we can to help you. Anything, Christian, to a faith-based place. But listen, if you have to go to California, praise God. If you have to travel that far to get away from this place, because a lot of times the things that you're familiar with, you're familiar with the blocks, you're familiar with the area, you know where to go, to get it. You know, you have connections here. Man, move to Alaska if that's what it takes to get off of it, okay? Are y'all with me? I mean, move to New Jersey, move to New York, I don't care. Listen, you got to declare war on this thing. I mean, you've got to get down to business. Listen, this ain't a playground, this is a battleground. And it will take your life if you don't take it seriously. And so, guys, do whatever it takes to get off, whatever it is to get off of it and get in the will of God for your life. Amen? So here's another one. Warn them consistently. Just warn them in love. Warn them. Be there for them. This is a good one, okay? Be there for them when they say, I won't help. I know that's very simple. But when you hear somebody say, I won't help or I need help, don't ignore them. Do everything in your power to help them get the help they need because they don't have the resources. But guess who does? We do. We've got the resources. We can pray for them. We can provide them. We can help them go to a place. And let them know, guys, that sometimes there may be some pain. I had one person tell me that struggled with addiction, said that she was just afraid of the withdrawals. Afraid of the withdrawals because the withdrawals are painful. Now, for those of us that's never been addicted, we're easy. We can just say, just do it, okay? Well, we've never been addicted, have we? That's never been on pills, never been. We just don't understand it, do we? Because it's hard for us to see it from their perspective. But guys, we have to be there for them and pray with them, even through the withdrawals. Let them know, give them comfort and say, you can make it, you can do this. Sometimes God heals us instantly. But sometimes, guys, it's a process. You know, it's a process. Sometimes it takes 2 to 3 years for the brain to completely heal. Do you know that? If they relapse within a year, don't give up on them. Just keep helping them. You be there for them when they want help. There may be a relapse here and there, but you don't give up on them. You keep praying for them, and they can receive the healing that they need. And so, guys, I just want to tell this quote. I read this the other day. It says this, "We change our behavior when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing." Let me say it one more time. We change our behavior when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing. When the pain gets so great, and sometimes we have to, you remember the message 2 weeks ago on Mother's Day, sometimes we have to hit rock bottom. It was good that some of us hit rock bottom so that we could look up and find the Lord Jesus. Here's another way. Here's another way we can empower them. Speak life into them. Call out the purpose. Call out what God has called them to be and do on a consistent basis. Speak life into them. You say, you're a man of God. Even in their mess, you call out the purpose. You call out who they really are. You're a woman of God. You've got a purpose in your life. You say, how can you say that when they're in the mess they're in? I'm calling out who they really are. I'm calling out, call those things that be not as though they were. See, it ain't going to do no good if you go to everybody else talking about the drug addict and the alcoholic. It ain't going to do no good. It ain't going to do no good if you say, man, there just ain't no hope for them. They just keep doing what they're doing, and you just keep talking about them. Don't talk about them. Go to them. Pray for them. Let them know that there's help. Let them know that there's hope for their life. Amen, church. And never give up on them. Always speak life. Speak life into them. Call out who they really are. We read Acts 1:8, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16, verse 18, says they will take up snakes, right? And if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. And here's what I want to focus on right here. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Guys, I really believe this. If you pray for them, you lay hands on them, and you pray. Listen, he said it. Is this not what he said? Did Jesus say this? We just read it, right? We want to pray for them and lay hands on them. and rebuke that spirit of addiction and rebuke that spirit of illness, that sickness, and say, leave in Jesus' name. How many here believes you can cast out evil spirits? Amen. We can do that. Jesus gave us the authority to do that. You lay hands on them. Now, before I lay hands on people, I always ask them. You know, I never just go up to them and just catch them off guard. Not less if the Lord really tells me to do it, right? If he tells me to do it. But I ask. You know what? The reason why I do is because God will never override your will. Y'all with me? God will never override your will. And so we say, hey, do you want free from this? Is this something you don't want in your life? Well, no, I don't want it. Begin to lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is how you empower them. Look at your neighbor and say, empowerment. Empowerment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 through 19. This is what Jesus said. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. Guys, it's by the Spirit of God that we can get rid, eliminate those evil spirits that try to overtake our lives. The strong man, we can enter the strong man's house. Take back what the devil stole. Y'all see that in that verse? Y'all see that? You're taking back what the enemy stole from you. You're going in, you're taking authority, you're declaring war on the enemy and say, I will not be defeated. My family's not going to be stuck here. I'm going to do everything in my power. How many's declared war on addiction? I've declared war on it. I don't want to see people struggle with it. I'm declaring war on it in Jesus' name. I'm calling it out, bringing it out to the light. Because God is able. Amen. Micah, declare war on addiction. It says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Y'all want to say that with me? When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how dark it gets, you declare war on addiction, you declare war on it, you fall, you get back up again. If you relapse, you need to say it with your mouth. I will arise. I fell, yeah, I went back, but I'm going to keep on going, keep pressing, and keep going forward. If this war lasts 2 to 3 years, I'm going to win in Jesus' name. I'm going to win. Guys, we can't just sit idly by and never talk about it, right? Never. We got to bring it out into the open. You know, I was talking about declaring war back in World War II when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor there. And and Roosevelt declared war. What was they just going to do? Like, well, I wish that hadn't have happened. I hope they don't do it again. Well, no. They had to stand up and defend the country. They had to stand up and say, we're going to defend what's ours, and we're not going to let them just keep attacking us. Y'all see where I'm going with this? You have to declare war on it, and you got to take action. Bring it out into the light and say, I declare war. It hit me hard. It hit my family hard, but I'm standing up. I'm standing up and I'm standing firm, and I'm not going to let the enemy overtake us and conquer us in Jesus' name. What happens when you declare war? You fight, you sacrifice, you commit. Can we read that next verse? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Be strong in him. Read the next verse. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, how many knows it's a warfare? It's war, I'm telling you. Man, I've seen it with my own eyes. Some people fight for years against this thing, but I'm here to tell you that there's hope. There's hope. You can defeat this thing. You can defeat it. You can overcome. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loves you. You can overcome. But it says right here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not flesh. It's spiritual. Do you know this addiction is spiritual? It is. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. But you've got the victory. Everybody say, I've got the victory. But it says, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You know where strongholds take place? They take place in the mind. And guys, we can't afford to have a thought in our head that does not give us hope. If that thought you get does not give you hope, it's not from God, it's from the enemy. But the thought that comes to you, if it gives you hope, it's from God. That's as plain as I could tell you. If it ain't giving you hope, it ain't from God. You know what you need to do? You need to pull down that stronghold, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ and say, nope, I'm not defeated, I'm victorious. I may have fallen, I may have failed, but I will arise. I will get up again. I will get up. I may have got knocked down. I don't know if y'all are feeling this in your spirit, but I'm really feeling this right now. I may have got knocked down, but I will get up again. I will arise in Jesus' name. I will arise. See, you know, and this teaching is not just for those who may be struggling with addiction. Guys, this is for me. This is for you. This is for everyone. We all fall. We all get knocked down because we have an enemy that does not want to see us grow and succeed and flourish in our lives. But the key is that we all fall. The sinner falls. The saint falls. But the only difference is that the saint understands they can get up again. And that's the difference. If you fall, don't condemn yourself. Just get up. Dust yourself off. And keep going. Don't condemn yourself. Amen? So you have to be fierce against your enemy. See, some people think this thing's a cruise ship. You know, we're on a cruise ship. We're just floating by. Guys, we're on a battleship. We gotta take this thing seriously. And in our house, this is some of what some of the precautionary measures that I take. When it comes to prescriptions or things like that, we don't even let it in our house. That's just the measures we take. That's how far we go. I don't let a drop of alcohol in our house. I'm just being real. Not even a drop. Well, Pastor, is it, well, you know, and I know, listen, I know there's a big debate on that. How much can you drink without getting drunk or how much whatever. You know, I'm not getting into that. But I am saying this. You're better off being abstinent than just trying to get to the edge and saying, well, it's okay, do this little. Listen, if you leave just a little room, guys, it could get worse. It could overtake your life. So you're better off, listen, you're better off just sitting down in the living room playing a game of Monopoly or something with your family than trying to stress out with a glass of beer or glass of wine or whatever. Guys, you're better off without it. Y'all hear me? You're better off without it. Alcohol, listen, people got their families have been destroyed because they got carried away with that stuff. Can I share a story with you this morning? Are y'all still with me? Am I not putting you to sleep? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're not asleep. My wife's, well, I call him Grandpa, my wife's grandpa, Bill Hilliker, he shared an amazing story with me. They're from Michigan. They lived in Michigan, and T.O. Osborne came in. He specialized in the gift of healing, and in the church service, she was in a cast. There was a cast from her shoulders all the way down. She had a bulged disc. And so they were sitting in a meeting, and I believe it was a tent. It was a big old tent. And she was sitting in the tent, and while there was preaching, they didn't even lay hands on her or nothing, but while the preacher was preaching, she began to feel something moving her back. And during the preaching, her back was healed. Her back was healed. She was healed. So she still had the cast on, but she knew something took place, even during the preaching. Ain't that awesome, guys? That's awesome. But her husband was the town drunk. Her husband was the town. So he struggled with this, and he'd spend all their money. He'd spend all their money on it. Blow their money. Wouldn't have enough for anything else. He'd just blow it on it. And he come home one night drunk, and she was there, and she said, honey, I want you to cut this cast off me. Honey, I want you to cut. He says, what? And he told me this. He said they would get into arguments, and he'd be so drunk, she'd get so mad, she'd throw stuff at him. And, man, it just got out of hand. Man, it was just bad. Do you see what sin does? It's just bad. Sin comes in, just causes all kinds of problems in your family. But she had him to cut the cast off, and he saw her healed. Her back was healed, and you know what? He didn't drink another drop of alcohol from that day forward. He didn't take anything to alter his mind, whatever it is. He dropped it, and he got saved, and he gave his life to the Lord because of a healing that took place, because of an unusual miracle. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll believe and never give up and you keep praying, you keep pressing forward, God's going to perform a miracle in your life. It may be a bodily healing. It may be a healing in your family. I don't know what will happen because God works in miraculous ways. But if you'll trust him, he'll do things beyond your comprehension, beyond your imagination. He'll do something and people will say, you didn't do it. God had to do that. Only God had to do that. He is a miracle worker. He is a healer. He is a way maker. He is a chain breaker. He is God all by himself. And I'm here to tell you, no matter what, no matter how deep, no matter how dark the valley is, no matter how dark it looks, no matter what the circumstance is, God can move for you in your life. And he can change your perspective. And he can change your heart. Amen. Amen. That's why we're preaching so much on this, is that we believe that if we declare war on it and trust God and believe him, that we'll have a drug-free community. Let me see, can I go as far as this? We'll have a drug-free church. Can I get an amen? Because even people in the church struggle with it, okay? You say, well, Pastor, don't be condemned. We're not condemning you. We just want to let you know there's hope for you, and we want to bring it out into the open. And if the praise and worship team would come on up, I'd like for them to come on up and sing a song. And whatever need you have this morning, we want to let you know, hey, we want you to know you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can be empowered by God. And if you decide maybe you didn't want to come up to the altar this morning and you just want to talk to someone after church, listen, Johnny will still be here, Nick will still be here. For those of you that struggle with things, stay, hang around. If somebody wants to talk, we're here for you. How many knows we're called to see each other through, not see through each other? We're here to help each other. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll take advantage of this opportunity, the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone today. The Holy Spirit's speaking to someone today. Whatever need you have, what's he saying to you? Is he saying, come to me? Maybe you've backslid. I don't know. I don't know your life. Oh, God knows your life. God knows everything about you. And so I just want to give you this opportunity. We give this opportunity ever. Listen, this altar is open like Sherman said a while ago. This altar is open anytime. Anytime. People can come up here and pray anytime. But right now, we're just going to take a special moment for you to come up and pray. Pray for your family members. Pray for your family members. Pray for your friends. But guys, you can pray for yourself. Do you know that? It's okay to pray for yourself. Because you need it. You need help. I need help. We all need help. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, that you've given us strength. You've empowered us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, if we fall, we can rise. We will arise and have victory in our lives. And Father, I thank you, God, for the testimony that was given today by Scott and even Debbie when she shared what the Lord put on her heart. Lord, we're so thankful for everyone that's here. And Lord, we just pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whatever need you have, come. I'll pray with you this morning. Praise the Lord. Whatever need.